Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, welcome to Jaguars Monday from the HananiahAutos.com studio. Brian Sexton along with Tony Boselli from CBSSports.com, Pete Prisco. And for the next 2 hours, we'll talk about the Jaguars. Plenty to go there. And a huge day yesterday in the National Football League.
Crazy day.
Lots and lots to talk about.
It was
Tony,
nuts.
Yeah, I tell you what, I sat there in that green room.
It was so much fun.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing. That was the best. That was the one of the best days of football I've seen in a long time.
Well, the only problem was for me, I was in a hotel, a cheap hotel, by the way, because.
That sounds like a complaint for the folks at Westwood One.
Well, it's not their fault. The urologist convention was in New Orleans, and this was a flexed game, so they had to get hotels last minute. There wasn't a hotel in New Orleans, I actually double checked to make sure they weren't just trying to be cheap. There was no hotels.
Did you?
See, you had to say Kennery and like see the Fairfield Inn.
Did you see a urologist when you were there?
I did not. I've already been fixed. I've already been neutered.
All right. Hey, just a quick note.
But my point is, so I only got to see two games. But now the two games were good ones. The games on there were Philly
and Detroit.
Detroit, which was fun to watch, yeah. And then Miami Pittsburgh. What an ending!
Again,
crazy.
By the way, before you get into your top three there. We'll go back to an old argument we had. The Philly Detroit game is proof of why they shouldn't play Super Bowl in the snow.
That was great.
You know, since you bring that up,
it was great.
Before we do the big three, there were five games.
Maybe this is a big three now.
Yeah, maybe it is. There were five games that were significantly impacted by snow.
Awesome.
All five had scoring in excess of 50 points between the two teams.
Well, because
that was amazing.
But scoring, you're right. Scoring will happen in the snow because it's easier for the receivers to know where they're going.
Go ahead.
And pass rushers can't get traction.
It's more advantage for the running game because they can cut. The receivers, I was listening to some show, and I thought that as well. But there was some DB said, and actually covering them is easy because they have to set their moves up so early. You can tell where they're going. But the running backs, and I think it was one of the Detroit Lions players, he said trying to tackle LeSean McCoy was like impossible because he's cutting and –
And Chad Johnson actually said that yesterday. He said it's hard to break down a new route, but once you do break down, it's hard for them to cover you. So it offsets it.
It's snow football. It's mush football. It's fun.
It's garbage.
All right, so here's our big three with respect to the Jaguars.
You didn't like watching it.
It was fun watching it.
So that's my point.
I didn't want to see a season decided
by
it.
Absolutely. That was awesome.
The ratings.
The season might have been decided before the Detroit Lions yesterday in that game.
You couldn't
playing.
Kick an extra point. You couldn't kick a field goal.
It was awesome.
Just though, from a visual standpoint, watching Seattle and San Francisco wasn't as much fun as watching Philadelphia and Detroit.
That was great.
The field was clear. It was sunny.
It was, if you liked Hunger Games, death fight. I mean, that was brutal, that game.
I didn't see it very much. I was at the Superdome.
We got a lot to talk about, folks. So here's a big three from the Jaguars' perspective. Number one, Maurice Jones-Drew, questionable. He will not practice until at least Friday, and Gus Bradley came into his news conference today. This was his lead story.
He is feeling better. He is going to be questionable this week, though. We just need to see how fast he progresses. He might not practice until Friday. I know he came in and got treatment and stuff. We'll just keep monitoring his progress and see how he does. And we'll see, you know, that might be towards the end of the week that we have a better idea where he's at with that muscle strain. You know, fortunately for him, he sees that there's a chance, you know, and I think, he's been competing for us this whole year, and my visits with him have been, I'll just compete in the training room.
All right,
get all the treatment that needed for that type of injury, and then let's see what takes place.
All right, our second big three is the Jaguars are going to wear pads on Wednesday.
The club
came back after an extra couple of days off, well-rested, guys looked refreshed. And, Gus was asked about the value of his team with the extra 3 days, and he went right here.
I thought it was good for our team. I think, they had Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the good thing is a lot of the guys came in over the weekend to get extra treatment. And, you know, it's just good. I know looking at our injury report, our list has gotten a lot smaller. And we have to take advantage of that these last couple games here now to remain healthy. On Wednesday, we are going to go pads. The first part of practice. I think that's important for us right now. We've had a couple days off and to come back. And I think at this stage in the season where we're at, we need to keep that saw sharp and I think we're going to take advantage of it. It's not going to be the whole practice, but just for us a chance to keep our pad level down, create some competition with one-on-ones is what we need now.
All right, here's our third story of the Big Three, and that is that the Bills are in a Florida swing. They played at Tampa last week. They're back in Florida this week to take on the Jags, and then they host Miami. So the Bills back to Florida. We'll talk about that over the course of the next 2 hours as well here on Jaguars Monday. You think?
Buffalo's bad. It's a bad team.
You know, the funny thing is, and I asked Pete because I knew he had a chance to see some of that game. You're talking about a front four, you know, with the Mario Williams and Marcel Darius and Kyle Williams. You know, all of them have more than 8 sacks. I mean, you've got a front that going into yesterday's game led the NFL with 43 at a running game that led the AFC at 139. Yesterday, nothing worked for them. Nothing at all.
I don't think they play hard every snap.
I don't either. In a lot of spots. Left tackle, Mario, Darius, a lot of those guys.
All right, well, then let's go back to the top. The Jaguars are facing a week of practice without Maurice Jones-Drew, which means that it will be questionable up till game time on Sunday for his availability. Coming off his first 100-yard game of the year seems like a major bummer. What's the story? Can they be effective without him, if Jordan Todman has to play?
Well, let's talk about Maurice first. I mean, would it surprise you if he played? I mean, I just wonder how effective he can be with a – I don't know how bad the hamstring is, but Maurice is a pretty tough guy. I mean, I think if there's a way, he's going to play.
If it's a bad pull, he's not playing.
No, he's not. And that's the thing. So we don't know. If it's a significant pull at all, I don't care, whatever, you know, if Gus says he's questionable, I get it. They have to put something down, but he ain't playing. He is not playing if it's a significant pull.
So if he
doesn't
play.
If it's a minor pull, he's a tough guy. I could see him gutting it out.
So if he doesn't play, I think
Maurice, you'll get by. Now, Maurice has been running the ball well.
Better.
And partly because the offensive line's blocked pretty well.
And he's running better.
He's seeing the hole. He's hitting it harder. He's breaking tackles. That's the biggest difference.
Yeah, the 48-yard run, it looked like the old Maurice.
Yeah, I still don't think he has the pop that he's had, obviously, in the past. But now he's breaking tackles. He's running physical.
It's hard
tough
to have the same pop when you have 20 extra pounds on you.
Well, he's running physical, though.
Yeah,
he's breaking tackles. But he wasn't breaking tackles early in the year.
I asked Brian this before the show.
I think 20 is a stretch, too.
Is he coming back?
I would bet no.
What if it's a $1.5 million one-year deal?
Well, I mean, I think the team would take that. I don't know if Maurice is going to do that.
Is he going to get more than that on the open market? You can finish your career here where you started it?
I could see a team that thinks they're one guy, you know, Atlanta Falcons with Steven Jackson. He's never been as good as Steven Jackson.
Is he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And so how did that work out?
Well, it didn't work out very well at all.
Right. I mean, but see, my point on this is if it was a different position and it was a different guy, then maybe, you know, he'd go somewhere else. Somebody would get
a one-year deal. I'm trying to think what team.
Like John Abraham, as a pass rusher, went and played for Arizona and now has 11 sacks.
Right.
So that might be a situation where that works. But for a running back, the perception now is you find those guys everywhere. So why pay a guy to come in and do it for you?
I agree with you there. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love for him to now, but here's the thing. If you're Gus, or not, let's say if you're Dave who's doing this, you're trying to get younger and faster, do you want him back $4.5 million?
Well, he's good in the locker room, right? The players like him.
As far as that, yeah. That's what you hear.
The ownership wants him back. So,
and he's a good red zone back.
He's the face of the franchise for now. He's still one of their more productive players. So for that money.
I would.
For that money.
Yeah,
if the money's right, I think
I'd bring him back. Yeah, I would too.
I think he comes back. He's going to have to get in better shape.
And maybe he does. Maybe another year away, maybe you get a little bit of juice back.
Well, you know, he had the 2 years.
You know, he always plays great with the chip on his shoulder.
You had the knee injury coming off the 11 season. You had the foot injury coming out of the 12 season. And so if he could get to the offseason reasonably healthy and get a chance to get back to a playing weight, and let's be honest, playing weight for him is 210, 212.
What's he weighing right now, you think?
Got to be 230.
He looks every bit of 225 to 230.
He looks stout.
Yeah.
That's a really diplomatic way of putting it.
He looks chubby.
I think stout's
I think
more
it's chubby.
Accurate. You know, so if he doesn't play, I think this team has a better chance with Maurice playing, obviously. But I think it would be kind of fun to see Todman and Denard. I mean, just from analyzing, looking at the game, Now, does it give you the best
chance
of winning?
That reminds me of something, doesn't it? From an analyzing, looking at the
game. No, it'd be fun. I just said I'd rather have Maurice in there because I want to win. I know you guys are losers. I like winning.
That's how we work. Yeah, exactly.
I don't care if they win or lose. I'll be honest with you.
Because you're a loser.
No, I don't care if anybody wins or loses.
You're a loser.
I don't care if anybody wins or loses.
You're soulless, too.
I'm soulless. You saw me. I had a soul last week.
No, you know what? He did. You were there.
I did.
He didn't see the picture, though.
Yes, I did.
I tweeted it.
He was walking around the Target store showing it to people.
I was laughing so hard. It was great. To tell everybody who's listening, we had the Buscelli Foundation at an event last week at Target where we do Shop with the Jock, take 100 kids from our after-school program, give them money, pair them up with a local celebrity, mostly athletes, but a couple non-athletes came, like Pete and Brian.
But, I don't know how to take
that. Nice, yeah. Yeah,
we're as athletic as you are right now.
Very true. Very true.
I'm glad you said
very,
that.
Very, very true. But anyways, so I took it. Pete, first of all, the best part of the whole night is Brian comes up to me and says, hey, listen, you got to get someone else with Pete. Pete is panicking. He has like four or five kids by himself, and he doesn't know what to do. And so I was sitting there watching Pete. Like, I thought his head was going to explode.
And then your son came over and took
it. And so then I brought some people over to help Pete. And Pete ends up somehow with one kid.
Yeah, but you know what he said to me?
I know.
He said, isn't it great?
Yeah. I thought it was awesome.
Isn't it great? Bonnie from the foundation comes. She goes, we need you and Luke, Jokel, to go over to this table. Yeah, I said, yeah, but you're leaving Pete with five. She goes, we'll get help for him.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was great.
And I picked out the kid. He was a really good kid. And I could tell.
He was a little bit mischievous.
Oh, he picked him out from the beginning.
I picked him out right from the beginning. I go, he's a troublemaker. And I took him out. And he was great.
But my point is, so I took a picture of Pete shopping with this kid. Right? And I said, see? And I tweeted out. I said, see, Pete does have a heart. Because Pete has the reputation on Twitter as being kind of soulless and heartless and callous and whatever other
adjective. You know what I loved about the little kid, though? You know, he said he had two brothers, so he got something for the two brothers, and he got something for him. And he came back to me, and he goes, I got another brother. And I go, I love this kid. Playing the angles. What's good for me is good for me. He's a smart kid.
And then Pete let him get away with it was the worst part. We had to reform him back at the foundation. Yeah.
Right. Let's step aside for our first break of the evening. More to come from the HannityAutos.com studio inside EverBank Field. Brian Sexton, Pete Prisco, Tony Buscelli. You're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Don't forget tonight at 7, Jeff Lagerman, Brent Martineau, Jaguars All Access. Roy Miller is there, and you're going to want to watch the smart board segment that they do. Now they're doing it on an iPad. So he's going to focus on a couple of plays, in particular Austin Pazder.
That guy.
And the way that Pazder played against J.J. Watt.
The guy's been great. And first of all, did you watch any of the tape?
I haven't watched it yet, no.
So I watched not
real quick, because Loggy's listening. Let me just finish who else he's doing it.
I know he was nervous about to make sure he didn't screw it up with the because they got the iPad. They're using
the
iPad.
Oh, yeah, he's got that one down. The Puzlesny Greg Jones confrontation in the hole, he said, is absolutely awesome. So that comes on at 7 o'clock on CBS 47.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to be driving, if you're driving right now going home, turn on that show because Logs does a great job on the smart board.
And one of my favorite segments.
It's really good.
The city.
He really breaks it down. You get a coach's viewpoint, and obviously Jeff knows football very well. So, I mean, first choice is listen to us because our show's better than that. But if you can't listen to us.
Just lay it on the line. Why don't you call him a loser, too?
No, I mean, Jeff wants to win.
Yeah,
Jeff's a winner. But if you can't do this, listen to this, you know, put that on because it's really good TV. It's great stuff. And Austin Pazder, he continues to play well. I mean, listen, and this is not I told you so, but the day they made this move, and I think we talked about it beforehand.
So this really isn't I told you so, it's not I told you first.
No, it's not even that because there's certain guys in this media market that are like famous for like on Twitter telling, I said this 3 weeks ago. I mean.
Was that me?
No, Gene Furnett.
Certain guys, Gene.
I love you, Gene, but it's true. Who was it? Oh,
Pazder.
I had the sense and feeling that this team and this offensive line would be better without Eugene Monroe. Now, I thought Luke Jokel was going to be there.
Right.
With that said, Cameron's doing very well, and he's playing good football. He's not as good as Luke Jokel, obviously, but he's doing a good job in his filling spot. But Austin, I thought that what he would bring would be a toughness and a nastiness, and he's a smart player. Limited physically. Actually, he's better physically than I thought. I mean, athletically, I should say. He's a physical player, but athletically, he moves his feet better than I even thought. And he's just one of those guys in the NFL, if you look at right tackles, if you are a smart player with good technique, a decent athlete, and I think Austin, again, I'm going to say it again, I think he's better than decent. In a tough, brawling type of guy, you can have success.
Claybo.
And that's he's better than Claybo right now. He's better.
But even when Claybo was
he's
at
better
his
than,
best?
He's better at Claybo right now than Claybo was at his best.
I never thought Claybo was as good as people thought he was.
No,
either.
He's better than Claybo at Claybo's best.
Okay. So who is he? Streif?
Yeah, I think, I mean, maybe even a little bit better. He's more athletic than Streif. He's not as strong as Streif. Streif's
right.
a big, I mean,
right.
I was on the sideline last night. That's a monster of a man.
Right.
He's not that big and strong. So I don't know if he's powerful, but he's a better athlete. He's the best way, and I don't know all the right tackles in the league, because especially now doing Jag stuff is all we do. He is middle of the pack, though, right tackle right now.
Right.
That says a lot for a guy who had three starts in his career
I'm telling
at left
you what,
guard.
And I watched the game, and he's going to get never – he blocked J.J. Watt. I mean, he blocked him. I mean, and he pushed him around at times. He was physical. Now, J.J. makes some plays, but he makes plays every game. But he was – for the two times the Jacksonville Jaguars played him, I think he had one sack. That was a later sack. He was not effective, or he did not affect the game in a menacing way.
Not last Thursday.
Or the first time. I mean, he was good.
We called his name a lot.
We called his name, but it wasn't like he takes over
right,
games.
Right, right.
He take where it's like we can't do anything because the guy's ruining everything.
So basically –
they got a right tackle.
They got a right tackle.
I've been saying for a month.
That's
but
another
yes.
thing.
Long term. You're saying he's the long term answer.
Yes.
Right tackle.
Yes.
He's gonna be, next year. He'll come back.
He'll get better.
He'll be six. What is he? 6'6".
Yeah. He's
six
gonna get bigger, stronger.
So he's gonna be 335.
He's gonna be bigger. He's gonna learn. He's gonna get craftier. I mean, the guy doesn't even know. I was talking before the game, and he's. I mean, and this is the other thing. So I'm biased. I like the guys. I mean, I enjoy talking to Luke. And I enjoy talking to Austin and Cam. I mean, these guys, I enjoy talking about football. I was talking to Austin about it. And I realized as I was talking to him, this is a guy who's played barely any tackle. And so things that, you know, just are second nature, I just think, you know, are common. And we were talking. He's like, oh, that's good. And he has an idea, and he wants to be good, and he studies, and he's watching film, and he's trying to figure out, and he has a game plan going in. Because I was asking, I said, okay, give me your game plan. What are you thinking against this guy? And, you know, he's thinking, and I said, well, hey, think about this. And so when you care, and they have three guys at tackle right now that care. I mean, Cam Bradfield, if you look at what Cam Bradfield was last year compared to this year, it was night and day. I mean, Cam Bradfield was rough at times. I mean, you guys.
Yeah, no, and he's playing pretty well right now.
He's playing solid.
And by the way, let's remember.
He wasn't quite below the whimper line, but it was rough.
He's a third year player from Grand Valley State.
Yeah, and he's a swing tackle. That's
he's
what
learning
he is.
To play
he's
still.
A swing tackle right now. But I mean, it's so I think. Listen, with a lot of holes,
right?
I mean, there's a lot of guys.
That's a bonus fine.
Bonus fine. You didn't go into this season thinking you had a right tackle.
Right now, you have a right tackle.
You have a left
and
tackle.
He's a cheap right tackle and a cheap left tackle for the time being. Right?
Absolutely.
So now you have the question now becomes: is the left guard the left guard for the long run? Yeah, to be determined. The center will be new for sure.
I'd bring Brad back.
No, I wouldn't.
I would. I'm not saying he starts. I'd bring him back.
Just a veteran backup.
Or maybe even, I'll say this. You have to get bigger. Either Will, those guys got to get bigger. Physically bigger. We're not big enough inside. If you look at you have to be big and physical. You got to hold the pocket. I mean, that's the way the NFL
is. You got to be Boone and Iapati.
You got to be nasty. Right. I mean, you got to be big.
Carpenter and
we're not
and Sweezy.
Big. And so either they got to get bigger, like in the weight room. I mean, I don't know how much bigger. I mean, maturity wise, or you got to go find two big guards. And so it comes to the question: is do you go find two really big guards? I mean, studs. One in free agent, one in the draft, and you leave Brad at center for one more year.
Can you do that?
Yeah, I mean, Brad. Listen, I'm watching Brad. I mean, he's playing fine.
Okay.
It's not like he's getting killed. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. He's crafty. I thought he played well against Houston. What's his name?
Earl Mitchell.
Mitchell, who's an average guy, but he reached him. He was moving him around. I mean, he's not. I mean, I've seen a lot worse centers.
What about.
Played with some.
Drafting college tackles.
Well, I remember. You named the reporter.
No, I'm not naming those.
I'll name him. It was Wydell.
I'm not naming him. I did not say that. I like playing with Wanda. I thought he was good.
straight up. Whoosh.
He was fun, though. He talked trash out there.
He'll get mad at me when I bump into him in the store.
I like Dave.
How about drafting in like the fourth or fifth round a college tackle and converting him to guard?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
What about Brad? Could Brad be a play guard?
I don't know. Maybe.
Why not move
him? Hey, 6'4", 308. You want a bigger body?
Bigger. You need him bigger than that.
Bigger.
You know.
But he could be 320.
Think about the line we had.
Oh, yeah. Now, you're talking about 330.
325, me. Ben, 330.
Different era, though, Tony.
315.
Different era.
Cersei, 320.
Different era. There wasn't the speed game.
Ran zone, Pete.
But the players on defense were bigger too. These guys are a lot more quick, fast.
It doesn't affect San Francisco's blocking speed. Those guys are all those guys are bigger than
they're
we
big.
Were.
Both Boone's a converted tackle.
They're monsters.
Yeah.
I mean, go look at Seattle. They're a bunch of monsters.
Converted tackle at guard.
We've hit the bottom of the hour. It's time for news.
Talking about the fist fight that you saw yesterday on TV. I mean, that's a bunch of big men fighting each other.
Can they pass the ball? That's the question.
When we come back,
that's a good question.
We'll talk about the Jags wearing pads on Wednesday, the Bills coming back to Florida, Maurice Jones-Drew, and a lot about the NFL from yesterday. You're listening to Jaguars Monday on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, a broadcast brought to you by Bueller Swiss Watches, the official watch of the Jaguars. You can get yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and our friends at Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Resetting our big three for you here in the first hour, focused primarily on the Jaguars. Number one, entering the week, Maurice Jones-Drew questionable, not likely to practice until Friday. Number two, the Jaguars, with some extra rest, will go old school and put the pads on Wednesday late in the season. And number three, the Bills return to Florida, second straight week, part of a three-week Florida stand. They'll play the Dolphins a week from Sunday at home. Gus Bradley was asked today in his news conference about the value of the extra rest for his football team. He liked it, and he liked what it allows him to do.
I thought it was good for our team. I think, they had Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the good thing is a lot of the guys came in over the weekend to get extra treatment. And, you know, it's just good. I know looking at our injury report, our list has gotten a lot smaller. And we have to take advantage of that these last couple games here now to remain healthy. On Wednesday, we are going to go pads. The first part of practice. I think that's important for us right now. We've had a couple days off and to come back, and I think at this stage in the season where we're at, we need to keep that saw sharp, and I think we're going to take advantage of it. It's not going to be the whole practice, but just for us a chance to keep our pad level down, create some competition with one-on-ones is what we need now.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, and Tony, your reaction was, yeah, you like the idea. He's got a couple more left. That's not his last padded practice. He saved them. He has given his team plenty of time to rest and recuperate. He gave them the entire bye week off. They got the extra couple of days. Now he's going to ask them to put the pads on and go on Wednesday.
I think this whole telling a coach how many times they're going to be in pads is stupid.
Now, would you have liked that as a player, though, with Tom?
Yeah, because he's crazy.
Yeah. Right.
Middle drill. 9-on-7. Goal line.
But they're going back. He wants to, as he said, keep the saw sharp.
I don't mind that. Coming off a young team, I mean, if this was a veteran team in a different
hit
situation.
Now that I'm not playing.
Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Love
a veteran
it.
Team, different situation.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't do that.
I mean, 95, you realize we were in pads until full pads till the end of the year.
Well, that's why I thought you might appreciate
Wednesday
this.
And Thursday. And on Fridays, we were uppers.
I know.
We wore shoulder pads.
He was a madman.
You know what would happen right now if you asked a team in the NFL, any team, not just this team, but any team, saying, hey, this for the next 3 weeks, we're going to go in full pads Wednesday and Thursday, and then we're going to go in uppers on Friday. You'd have a revolt.
Well, and Tom said he did all that to weed out the guys that weren't going to be around. That's part of the problem, part of the process.
He weeded us out, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was interesting that Gus was – putting him back on this week, setting the tempo for his
team.
I do too.
You know, and look, you know, this week against these Buffalo Bills who come in with a very strong front seven, you're going to have to be physical against these guys.
Oh, yeah, to me, a test. I mean, we talked about this offensive line. It's going to be a test. They got guys when they want to play are really good.
I can't see them wanting to play again. They didn't want to play in Tampa yesterday. They go home, come back.
I know, but you never know what, you know, maybe Doug Marrone can pull some magic punch or something.
It's not a good sign for the Buffalo Bills to me. That's bad.
That they laid down like this?
That you notice it on tape, guys take plays off. That's not a good sign.
On the other side is, which is funny because you watch the tape, you know.
Jaguars don't take time.
No. They play hard. There's guys that, you know, look tired at times. But, I mean, I just go back to this game Thursday night. Schaub comes in, and the first drive is like, oh, gosh, here we go. He's going to just shred us. Second drive, he gets something going, but they make a stop when they have to. Next time, they make a stop when they have to. Big, you know, big rush, big sack, come up and tackle. Fourth and, you know, third and one, Paul Posluszny's flying around, making tackles, stop on four. I mean, they and that's the sign of a team that continues to play. I mean, it wasn't going well there for a while. I mean, it looked like they were going to come back and because we couldn't get a pass rush and couldn't stop Matt Schaub from throwing the ball. So, and you turn on the Buffalo Bills, you turn on a lot of teams. It's like,
did you ever? All right,
it's this time of year.
Did you ever take plays off?
No, I was too scared. I was scared of getting embarrassed.
Well, the reason I ask you this is last week I was watching some Browns tape against the Jaguars, and Josh Gordon on run plays takes them off.
That's a receiver for you, though.
No, but I mean. Doesn't even try and shield them. Well, nothing.
Remember Randy Moss?
Yeah. But I brought that to the attention of I pulled the pictures out, I printed them, we put it up, we made a big thing out of it, we had a video on it and everything. And I brought it to the attention of
Chad Johnson. What did he say?
And he said, that's a receiver catching his breath. And I said, he goes, I did that a lot. And I go, well, then you should give Mike Brown some money back then. Because at least, and he's like, well, it's a play going away. But on the play that he was, it was a run into the middle. And Alan Ball came over and actually could have made the tackle, didn't have to, but he was there to make the tackle. If Gordon just gets off the line and shield, just dance with him. That's all I ask you. I don't need you to block him. Just dance with him to keep him out of the play.
Make him run the long way.
You know what he did? He did like the little loaf and didn't even do anything. To me, that's a sign. That is, you don't need to be a blocker. I'm not going to put somebody in the Hall of Fame for blocking like people want to pump up Hines Ward, greatest blocker ever. Great. He was a great blocker, but that's not you don't make your money blocking. You make your money doing what Josh Gordon does.
Yeah, but I think you make your money being a complete football player, and part of that is blocking.
Right. And at least attempt it. I got to go back and watch some of your old games. Did Jimmy block? Jimmy blocked.
I don't remember.
I think he
did. I'd be lying if
I told you. But he at least gave you the effort.
It, right.
Yeah, he
right.
gave you the effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Keenan blocked.
Yeah.
Keenan
but
blocked.
Fake it. And then I pulled the tape. You'll appreciate this. I pulled the tape off a playoff from the Denver game. It was a long run from their own end from Monte Ball last week against Kansas City. So they're in one receiver to the left with Thomas.
None of those guys were loafing.
Wes Welker comes off the line, and he's a man coverage, blocks his guy. Thomas comes across and cracks the safety.
Digs him out.
Decker comes all the way across and gets a piece of the other safety to kind of create
you
the landing.
You want to know why?
Peyton.
Yeah. Guy, you know what? In the same reason you want to know why people don't loaf here? You want to know why people didn't loaf when I played here?
Because they were
scared. It was accountability.
Yeah, and they were scared of Tom.
No, but there was accountability. Like, right. You are accountable for your actions. Whether it's a coach, a player, yourself, you have to bring accountability. And when I watch teams and they visibly loaf or just – there's no accountability.
When you were in a team meeting – if a guy, a receiver, did that, did he get called, or does he get called out in the receiver room?
Yeah, because we'd watch this with the five fat guys. We didn't watch it with all.
But
the
like,
guys.
Okay, so Tom wouldn't call you out on something.
If it was a bad game, what Tom would do is he'd make the whole offense and watch it together for the first couple series of the plays he wanted everyone
right.
to see.
Oh, he'd call so you would out. Call you get called
oh,
out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
See, that's to me. I think there's a problem, a little bit of a disconnect sometimes when the position coaches are the only ones who watch it with their players. The head coach has to call him out. You know, because your position.
Or the head coach will come find you on the field.
Right. But the position coach, to me, I want my team in there and I'm going to go turn it off and say, watch Buscelli. This is what you're not supposed to do on this play. Tony, what did you do? Why did you do that? I call you out. I want you to show me why. And the next time you go and you're playing, it's going to be here. You know, don't embarrass you, but just call him out.
Before we take a break, thoughts on E.J. Manuel. The Jaguars, obviously, it'll be the first time they see him, but a lot of people here remember him from Florida State. The Bills took him with the 16th pick. He missed five games, but early on it looked like he was making some progress. And then yesterday, four picks and looked lost.
Yeah, well, you go ahead, Tony.
I haven't watched him much, and I haven't watched the Buffalo Bills tape for Sunday's game yet at all much. I mean, I watched a few plays of them on defense, and that's where I saw the loafing. But E.J. Manuel was quarterback of Florida State last year, right?
Correct.
And he leaves, and this freshman comes in, obviously pretty good, and they haven't lost since he left?
Correct.
Well, that freshman is also going to be the first player picked.
Well, my point is, I mean, Jameis Winston, we think, is like the guy. Well, if E.J. Manuel was the guy, wouldn't they have been better last year?
See, I never thought E.J. Manuel was the guy. In fact, and Buffalo fans will get all over me for this because I gave that on draft day, I gave it an F. I thought he was overdrafted. I thought he was a one-read quarterback. He never, ever was that accurate.
But you also like Christian Ponder.
I did. But I was wrong about him. I can admit
that's
I'm
like
wrong.
When you say that. Oh, I can say it again.
Him. You never liked the guy and thought he was going to be good?
Never.
And was wrong?
No, I have
sure
not
you
once.
Sure you haven't. How come you told me Anthony Cesario was going to be an all-pro guard?
And with that, we're going to break. Last word.
You told me he was going to be an all-pro guard. First practice.
Yeah, no,
you
did not.
Such a liar.
I was walking off the field right behind you when he said, that guy can't even get in his stance. We'll take a break and return on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, just to stir things up a little bit, I went and found Maurice today. You know, our whole thing that we talk about, carryover, end of the year, that whole 9 yards. And I asked him, you know, so what do you see? Do you see carryover in this locker room?
We feel like we still have an opportunity to do some great things here right now. You know, we're not out of the hunt. So we're really worrying about next year, kind of be like throwing in the towel. We want to continue to just get better each week and every game, and I think we've been doing that over the last couple of games. We just want to continue on that, and then, you know, however it ends up, and then we'll do our best come next year to keep it going.
You know, I rolled my eyes at the playoff thing, and he kind of gave me one of those looks, but he stood up for the player's perspective, which you've talked about so long in here.
He's a winner. He's not a loser.
Oh,
like
stop
you.
With that crap.
I was listening to Tom Coughlin didn't they play in the Sunday night game last week?
Yes.
Sunday night game.
It's the Redskins. 2 weeks ago. It's the Redskins.
Was it 2 weeks ago? Bob Costas interviewed him, and they talked about, you know, how do you keep going even though it's – and basically the question was, does – if you're out of the playoffs, does winning matter? And he says, 100%, absolutely, there's carryover. You build something, winning matters. And I agree with him. And I know you think there's no carryover. It means nothing. Well, it's done. And there's no such thing as culture. And it's all about the high draft pick. And it's all about me and money and all this stuff. But winning matters. Culture matters. And if you can win, because what you're doing with a bunch of young guys, okay, there's 53 guys on the roster right now, right? And another 10 on IR. So that's 63 guys that are around. Of those 63, how many are going to be back next year at the cuts?
30.
Well, this year it was about 50% turnover. Next year you'd think it'd be about
30.
About the same.
Can I say it's 30 to 35? I'm fine with that number. Right. I'm not saying
All right.
Those 30 or 35 guys that have been a part of this and have bought in and seen that it works and Gus and who he is and how he does things, and that matters next year.
So, okay.
It matters. It carries over.
All right, so
because guess what? Those 35 guys, you get eight.
Hold on. We know where you stand on it.
You get 18 new guys.
It's the same.
You get 18 new guys come in, and those 35 infect those 18 of how to do it.
All right. So
go ahead, Mr. Selfish.
Is the culture any different if they didn't beat the Texans?
One game? I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, you just went through a whole 10-minute
rant. It matters.
Okay, so that game matters to the culture.
Every game matters, yeah.
So the difference between five wins and 8 and 7 wins,
that's
the culture changes.
That's a nonsensical question.
No, it's not. That's a legitimate question.
I don't know where you draw
right, you
the
don't
line.
Know. You don't know.
Yeah, but maybe 7 does matter. Maybe maybe something magical does happen when you go from a 6 to 7.
Yeah, you lose draft position. That's what magical draft happens.
Takes care of itself.
I just disproved
where
the
was argument. Aaron Rodgers picked?
24th.
Right.
Where was Ben Roethlisberger picked?
Okay.
11th.
Where was Andrew Luck picked?
1.
Okay.
Where was Tom Brady picked?
Where was Peyton Manning picked?
Where was Drew Brees picked?
Where was Peyton Manning picked?
You can go back
where's
and forth.
Drew Brees
hey, look.
That's my whole point.
You can go back and forth on this all you want.
That's my whole point.
You can go back
where's
and forth
JJ,
all you want.
You're
where's
also
JJ,
getting better picks.
If we were 7-9.
Stop. There's a deeper, more philosophical argument.
That I'm right about. I know.
To be had here, right? And the one thing that I keep telling people who come up to me, the grocery store, go, you don't want them to win? No. The winning is fun. I get it. It's fun. It's towards the end of the year. They got some traction. It's great to see Gus's philosophy validated. All of that makes sense. It's just there's a philosophy that comes with it. the philosophical argument is, you know, the Jaguars are minus 171 in their point differential. Minus 171. The Broncos are plus 171. So the difference between where the Broncos are and where the Jaguars are is what? 340, 350 points, something like
342.
That? 342. Okay. You were the finance major. The point is that at some point you don't want to get too far away from picking good players when your roster is so far from being complete. That was what the philosophical argument was about. No one is saying lose, 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 because that's the ultimate. What we're saying is, when you look at the roster, you don't ever want to get too far away from picking good players.
But you're philosophical.
Because the roster is still, you can win 7 games. Stop, let me finish here. You can win 7 games and go 7-9. And you can feel great about it, but the roster is still the roster. It needs a lot of players.
Right. 7-9 is not better for the long term.
Yes, it is.
It is?
Yeah.
Because he just proved that win does not win or lose.
Yes, it does matter.
Change
winning
the culture.
Always matter.
7-9 isn't winning.
Your philosophical argument is you are basing it on some assumptions that you don't know are true. You are assuming.
What's not true?
You're assuming that the first overall pick is going to be a better player than the 10th overall
pick. And I'm not.
And you know,
and you pigeonholed this on me.
Of the
you
league,
pigeonholed me.
That is not true.
No, you pigeonholed me.
If you're picking,
I'm talking
at the
about
top
seven
of each,
rounds.
If you're picking at the top
round
of each round,
not
you're better off than picking
the
15th.
No, that the, not this.
By the way,
draft,
if you go 7-9, you're not picking 10th. I hate to tell you that.
Probably 11.
13. 12, yeah, that
right
range.
Around there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, look, no one is saying that the Jaguars should intentionally lose. You could never ask a coach or a player to do it. Just listen to that soundbite again.
No.
Just philosophically.
I get it.
Just philosophically,
I believe.
How far away from where at the top of every round do you want to be? Because this year the Jaguars
are
had a
hell
of a draft.
Are you damaging the future potential
no.
to get a win?
Because you know what?
I don't think you are.
And look, the reason why this argument has even more merit right now is because, boy, they look like they're ready to win the last 3 games. I mean, they look like they're ready to win. They're 7-9 is not an absolutely
not a stretch at all.
Preposterous.
So far away from being a team ready to compete for a playoff spot, you have no idea. You do.
Oh, I disagree.
Yeah. You do? Okay.
I do.
Okay. Give me. We're going to go to break, I think. But at some point, I want you to think about this. Give me the 8 impact players that are going to move forward in 3 years that you're going to count on.
I'll answer your question this way. Tell me the 8 impact players on the Indianapolis Colts. Tell me.
Well, they got
hold on.
1 through 7.
Let me
starts
finish.
With the quarterback.
Let me finish. No. Let me finish. Tell me at what position groups that the Indianapolis Colts are better than the Jacksonville
Jaguars. I don't think the Indianapolis Colts are that good. So I'm not
going
to.
They're going to the playoffs.
I'll use the Bengals.
Okay, but you can't cherry pick play teams, Pete.
Why? I just told you. I don't think the Colts are that good. I think this was.
But they're going to the playoffs,
but this
Pete.
Was supposed to be this. That's not the goal. The goal is not to just go to the playoffs. The goal is to win the whole damn thing and sustain it.
The Bengals aren't winning the whole thing with the guy they have pulling the trigger.
They can.
No, they can't.
They can.
No, they can't.
They can't. Well.
They can't.
But their roster is deep and talented, right?
Yes, it is deep and talented.
They got talent all over the place.
They have talent everywhere. You talk about a big, nasty offensive
line.
They're
pretty guys.
They got talent.
They have talent. They're loaded with talent. And
listen, I don't think this.
8 guys, Tony. I want 8. Move it forward. I'll give you Cyprian. I'll give you Jokel. I'll give you Pastor. You're going to count him. An undrafted walker.
I think Grotz is going to be a good player.
Grotz. There's 4.
I think Gay Sanders will be an impact player in special teams. He'll be an impact player.
But he's not. He's a role player.
I understand. Listen, I know this team has to get better, Pete. But my whole point, I think winning matters. And you guys are assuming that somehow in this draft, that every GM I talk to says is really good throughout the entire first round. Like, they're excited.
But you're blaming it. You're basing it all in the first round.
There's a second round. There's a third round. Look at the players this team got in the second and third round.
Fourth round.
Right.
Fifth round. Sixth round.
Tony, I get it. You need to win a game or a couple games, but there's no difference. There's no cultural difference between winning 3 games and 7 games.
Speaking of that, you talk about where did the Saints pick last year in the draft?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Middle, right? Weren't they like 7-9 or 6-10? So they're like
they got Vaccaro.
Yeah. Okay, but they picked in the middle of the draft, all the way through the draft, right?
Yeah.
And they're pretty good. We agree they're one of the better teams, have a chance to win Super Bowl. We agree with that.
Yeah, but we should also agree that they were pretty well built before.
I'm just asking if they.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
So I was talking to Rick Reporsch last night, the head of college scouting. They have 10 rookies that are playing on their team this year. Four draft picks, six undrafted free agents. So my point is if you're good at your job, which I believe Dave Caldwell is, you can find talented guys throughout the draft.
And here's the other side of that.
It's easier to
when you have Drew Brees.
Bam! Easier to
do. You have Drew Brees, you cover up for all that
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
Victory, Joe.
Loser again. And that wasn't even a debate.
Yeah, well, it could have very well been the debate. Folks, that's what makes this the best radio show in Jacksonville. Spirited debate. HannityAutos.com studio will thrive for another hour of Jaguars Monday. First, though, news from News Talk WOKV. Now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Live from the HannaniaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
We'll go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Brian Sexton.
Dinner number one.
Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli. Hey, by the way, should we admit, should that have been our CopyFax face-off?
Well, he got abused, so yeah.
I won. And I'm going to bring some more CopyFax to this right here. I got another point for you, y'all.
Maybe not.
About carryover, about it mattering whether you win. Because guess what you do? Because right now, you want to know one of the reasons this team's beating teams that probably are more talented than they are?
Playing harder.
Backup quarterbacks?
No. They believe.
Oh, like, stop.
No, I'm serious. There's They're a power. Of, no, yeah, because they believe. They're confident.
There's no doubt. They are so much better coached than the teams they have played.
And Brian, I know Pete doesn't believe in any culture and any of this stuff. And I
no, I believe in the culture.
But guess what?
I believe
and
in the
you
culture.
You also believe this. If you, I know you understand
I
this.
Believe in what Gus is doing.
And
you
if
bet.
If you believe that you're good and you believe and you play with confidence, you play better.
Hey.
It just happens.
I want to tell you this right
and
now.
I'm going to say this.
I'm
going to
tell you this right now. I can believe all I want. If you put pads on me, somebody would throw me into the concrete wall. It's not about believing. It's about talent, Tony.
It's about believing,
it's about talent.
You're
and
wrong.
And being coached.
Believing and being confident releases the ability to play at the fullest potential you have. And when guys don't, and they're limited, I'm just telling you, it matters. And this is how I know it. In 1996, when we were 4-7, and then we went on the run, and it built, and it built, and built, I remember leaving that AFC title game after we lost, upset obviously, but convinced that we're going right back to the playoffs next year. Convinced. And now, when we were 4-7, I thought we were a pretty dang bad team. And we weren't, I mean, there was not a lot of confidence. It wasn't a lot of fun to be around. And we started winning. And you started believing. And then you go to Buffalo. And all of a sudden, you play against the best, and you have success. You're like, man, we belong. And you start believing, and you start seeing yourself different. And that matters how you play. And then when we lost, I still saw myself different. I saw myself as, listen, we're as good as anyone in this league, and I can block anybody. And so you all of a sudden, you show up for 1997.
You came into the league that mentality.
No, it changes. And you expect to be there. And you expect to win, and you expect to play well. And this team, they are starting to buy in. Listen, I'm not sure how talented they are, but they believe they're better than they are, and I'd rather have that than a bunch of talented guys who don't play hard.
You know
and
what?
It carries
you
over.
You should be a coach. You're making me want to run through a brick wall.
Maybe I should be. I believe it, though. Maybe I'm crazy.
See, look,
I believe
you,
in that stuff.
I believe a young guy gains confidence. I'll give you that. Because you look around and look, Cyprian's a perfect example. Early in the season, his head was spinning. It was too much. It was too fast. He was thinking too much. That I'll give you. He starts believing, hey, the game slowed down. It slows down for me. I understand. If I get here, if I read this, I make the play better. That all happens. That's coaching. That's growing.
Confidence.
Confidence. Yeah, I'll give you confidence. But the difference between four wins and
Joe
seven
agrees
wins.
With me, I can tell.
No, the difference between four wins and seven wins, which will impact your draft position an entire
way,
is not going to carry over to the next season. No, it won't.
Yeah, it does.
Now, the most important thing is not winning. The most important thing is these young kids are getting better, period. Because it's all about 2015.
I'll say this. If Morton Anderson makes that kick and we end up being 8-8,
you don't go to the playoffs next year?
We don't go to the playoffs. it would have been a different feeling going into next year.
I don't buy it.
I do. I know.
I don't buy it.
I know for a fact.
Yes, I do. So then you guys would have never made the runs you made.
I'm not saying we never would have, but I'm not saying it would have been different. It would have been a different feeling around here. You would have felt different as a player. First of all, we would have never known that we could go into Buffalo. I would have never known I could go into Buffalo in the most hostile environment in the world, in a place they never lost, to play the defensive player of the year and block them. Never would have known that. We would have known as a team we could go into Denver against the Hall of Fame quarterback John Elway, the best team in football, that proved it by winning the Super Bowl the next 2 years, and beat their rear ends on the same field. We would have never known that.
You must not carry it over, because I don't think you run any more road playoff games. Am I wrong about that? Am I wrong about that?
All right, Brian.
No, you're not. Look, I can argue.
Well, that didn't carry over because you never won another road playoff game.
It's a debate. Folks, it's a debate. You know, and you don't have to be absolute one way or the other.
I do.
No, I don't think you do. I think you can see the value in both sides of the argument, because I can come back and say, you know, you improve the next year 11-5. Of course, you draft Ronaldo Wynn, who was one of those guys I get scared of in the draft because he never did anything, really. You know, 1 year he wants to play at 285, the next year at 310. That's
who else
are
you going to draft?
But then the next year you traded back in the top 10 and got Fred, and that's where it exploded and took you over the top. So there's where the value of those top 10 picks, those elite special athletes, come in.
Tony Brackens was a second rounder. He was pretty important.
Yeah, he was very important.
When he wanted to be.
Yeah, he was very important.
He was pretty important.
No, he was absolutely important. That was a good draft in 1996 that set you up for it, too.
But the other first
drafting at the top of the second round. Top of the second round.
The first rounder in your – the first round. The
other
first,
pretty good.
The first
top of the third round.
The first rounder in – the other first rounder in your draft class was just okay.
Who's that?
James. They kept drafting a running back and finding a running back. So.
Well, James was, I mean, before he tore his ACL, was going to.
He was a really good player. He's nowhere near Fred.
It wasn't anywhere near Natron when he was getting that thing going.
Well,
But that next year he was pretty good.
Look, James was okay, but
he was pretty good.
You still never won a road playoff game after that.
Yeah, but there's a lot that goes.
All right, trust me, we can keep going and going and going on this topic as much as you want.
You're wrong. He's my hope. <That was,
laughs> He's so frustrated that he has to just blurt out, "You're wrong."
Ultimately,
you're wrong.
Aren't you going to eat your second dinner?
Let's talk about the playoff picture in the AFC and the NFC, shall we?
Yes.
Right now, okay. Denver sitting 1, New England 2, Cincy 3, Indy 4, Kansas City 5, and Baltimore 6.
Stop right there. Stop before you go to Baltimore. That's how it's going to be 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was just about to say, those teams
are changing.
It could be Cincinnati flip with New England because they beat them. So if they tied, then they get the home field advantage. So yeah, they have one game. They have one game up on them.
They're New a game England's back right now, right?
Yeah, and New England
with no Gronkowski.
Right.
Who's New England have left though?
Miami this week at Miami. That's not going to be an easy game for them. So yeah, they could
catch them.
So that, but other, so than that, other than that, it's the same.
Those are the top five teams. Is my point.
Well, record wise, because I'm not so sure Baltimore isn't. Better than might not end up being better than Indianapolis.
I think we're better than Indianapolis. Right
oh,
now.
Stop it! You are not.
All right, well,
here's New England at Miami, at Baltimore, against Buffalo.
Miami. What do you call it? Baltimore Ravens have big problems.
Yeah,
at Detroit.
Well, let me give you Cincinnati's real quick. Since he finishes at Pittsburgh, against Minnesota, against Baltimore, right? And then you said who? Baltimore.
Baltimore's is tough.
Yeah, they're brutal. Again.
They got at Detroit this week.
Yeah, they're at Detroit for Monday Night Football, home against New England, then at Cincinnati.
And, but
they might be on three.
Cincinnati might be the – think about this for a second. Cincinnati will be either – if they're the 3 seed, they might be in a position of deciding whether they want to play the Ravens in the 6 seed or somebody else. Think about that, right?
Yeah.
If they want to play, they might sit. If they're
locked in, that's what Bill Belichick did in 2007 against the Jaguars.
Right. If you're locked in at 3 – if you're locked in at 3, do you want to play a certain team at 6? If you want to play the Ravens again, then you might want them to win that game. If you don't want to play the Ravens again, you want to play Miami or somebody else. San Diego's in that mix, too, for the 6. But they go to Denver this week, so that ends that talk.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you who I give – you know who I give a ton of credit to in this league is Joe Philbin.
I do, too.
What he has done and held it together down there.
I agree.
Yeah, the wheels could have come off after that whole Jonathan Martin.
They should not fire that guy.
I don't think they will.
I
don't think they will.
He's a good football player.
They play New England this week, right, Miami? And then they have the Jets at the
Hold on, I'll pull it
Buffalo. Up. They have 3 division games. They have three. I think they have three.
New England at Buffalo against the Jets. So two of the final three at home.
Miami at three. Miami's the 7-6. That means they're going to be 9-7. They might be the 6th.
Miami's the kind of team that will beat New England at home this week and go to Buffalo and lose next week.
I hope they don't.
But they have a chance. They have a real chance. So it's going to be either the 6th seed will either be Baltimore. The Jets are still alive.
No, they are.
They're not really alive.
Well, they're 6-7, and they're the Chargers are 6-7.
Right.
Technically, we're alive.
Stop it.
I'm just saying, technically.
What needs to happen? Has anybody figured that out?
Well, everyone else has to lose.
Yeah, pretty much
every game.
Lose out. Yeah, there were some things that they needed. They needed the Raiders to win yesterday. They needed the Vikings to beat the Ravens yesterday. I mean, those things didn't happen. Right. So it took already a stacked deck and made it even heavier against the Jaguars. So
now, I will go on record to say this. If this team somehow made it into the playoffs, it would be the worst playoff team in the history.
Oh, that's going way out there now, isn't it?
Worse than that Seattle playoff team?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah. And that was a losing. They had a losing
7-9.
Yeah, and won a playoff game.
They beat the New Orleans Saints.
All right. So in the NFC, but the NFC will probably be either Miami or Baltimore. You would think
in the East.
In the
East.
Miami, Baltimore. Now in San Diego will hurt their case if they don't win on Thursday night.
And they're not going.
They're not playing Denver.
So and the Jets. So it's going to be Baltimore or Miami.
It could be an 8-8 team though. Then you start throwing people in.
Well, you got Tennessee and Pittsburgh that are both 5-8 right now.
You could have an 8-8 team. That's how bad that 6
AFC
seed
is not very good.
It's not. Yeah, it's Denver.
And Tennessee looks like they're on their last leg all of a sudden.
It's Denver. And Denver with and Cincinnati.
Before Gronk got hurt.
Right. But that takes
Patriots.
That
takes done.
And now Cincinnati becomes more of a factor. I'm telling you, Tony, that team is deep.
They're
talented,
not,
big, physical.
So you're saying when it counts at the end, they're going to beat for championship. They're going to beat Peyton.
I worry about their mentality.
That's my point.
I worry about Marvin thinking this is his Ravens team from yesteryear when he was a coach on that staff, and he can run the ball and play great defense. They're really good on defense. Even without Geno Atkins, even without Leon Hall, they're not that good. So you have to throw the ball. Yesterday, he got the ball to A.J. Green. He got the ball around. He got the Sanu. He got the ball to Eifert. Then there's games where they just line up and try and run Ben Jarvis Green out. Bernard had 99 yards rushing and 50 yards receiving. That's what they need to do. They move Whitworth to guard. You know, one of their guards went down.
Who they play to tackle?
Anthony Collins, and he did a good job. But Whitworth pulls.
Why'd they put Whitford? Why'd they do? Why?
They just felt there was a better combination over there. And when Whitworth pulls and moves, he's pretty athletic
he's
for
a good
guy
athletic
that big.
Guy, yeah.
They're pretty good on the line now. That's a pretty good line. You know, because Andre Smith's pretty good at right tackle. They're pretty good on the offensive line. I'm telling you, that's the team. And when you – here's the thing you need in the postseason. You know this as well as anybody. You better be able to knock the quarterback down at some point.
Yep.
Dunlop and Johnson can knock the quarterback down. And Gilbury might be one of the most underrated players in the NFL. Wallace Gilbert. Well, people don't know who he is.
No, he's a three technique.
Yeah, good.
But he's in there for Geno.
Yeah, and they move him outside.
But he's
end.
In there for Geno yeah. right now, basically.
All right, let's grab
the – Are they going to sign Michael Johnson?
No.
So he's going to be out there.
Free. He doesn't have a lot of sacks, so people look at his numbers and think he might be an overpriced guy. But, boy, I'll tell you what.
But he's not a Leo.
No, he plays hard
he's
all the time.
He's a 5'10". He's a big old
– He plays hard all the time.
All right, how about the NFC? Right now, Seattle, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Detroit, Carolina, and San Francisco. And hanging around the edge, Arizona. Dallas obviously
well,
plays
Dallas
tonight.
If Dallas wins tonight, they'd be the team ahead of Philadelphia because they have a they beat them.
So they'd go into the three spot.
Yeah, and Dallas will almost.
That's going to come down at the end of the last week.
Not necessarily, because Dallas has not lost a division game yet.
I understand, but if they have the same record going last week.
Right, but if they don't have the same record, then Dallas might not even need the game. Philly could win that game and not do anything. So Arizona plays Tennessee this week. At Tennessee. That's winnable. So Arizona might decide its own fate because they have San Francisco and Seattle the last 2 weeks. And I don't know how that schedules for Arizona. Is San Francisco the last game or the second to last game? Because Seattle might be playing for nothing the last week, so they might give them a gimme.
Hold on, I got to look at it.
Yeah.
Well,
the Giants are dead officially now.
Yes.
Arizona is at Tennessee, at Seattle, against San Francisco.
So Seattle will play.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not
and San
work.
Francisco has
at Seattle?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not
next
winning
week.
That.
Arizona has – I mean, San Francisco has a relatively easy schedule, if I'm not mistaken. They play at Tampa this week. It's not a gimme.
Even though
– They're at Tampa against Atlanta.
That's a gimme.
Which is Monday night before Christmas, and then at Arizona.
They're going to win. They'll go 2-3.
2-1. Yeah, 2-1.
I mean,
yeah.
2 out of 3.
So they'll get it. They'll be the 6th.
I'll say this. Even though San Francisco beat Seattle yesterday, Seattle's the best team in the NFC.
They're not unbeatable, though. They're beatable.
But they're the best team.
Right, but they're beatable.
Coming off the emotional win on Monday night and to travel to San Francisco and play that type of game that way where you, I mean, were in it, had a chance to win at the end.
Right.
It's impressive.
By the way, neither quarterback threw for 200 yards in that game. Red flag. That's a red flag going forward. At some point, they're going to have to throw the football. Have to. That's why they're beatable, okay? That's why we can sit here. Denver can have all these flaws all over the place because they have flaws.
Oh, defense.
But they get down 14 points and they're coming back. Those other teams get down 14 points. I don't know if they're coming back. That's the difference between that guy. Brady can do it too. Dalton, he can't do it. Who else can
do it? I don't disagree.
Breeze can do it.
Rodgers
can
do
it.
You know, they're going to sneak in.
If they play right, okay, that was a good question we had yesterday. If they had not won yesterday, would you have let Rodgers play the rest of the season? Would you have wanted him to play the rest of the season? I would have sat him down and told him, look, don't bother, because they would have been gone. But now.
Oh, you got to get him in there.
They play Dallas.
He hasn't been cleared yet. Wednesday, he goes back to the doctor.
They play Dallas.
He'll be cleared.
He'll be cleared. They play Dallas, and then they have Minnesota. No, I think they have two winnable games the rest of the
season. Minnesota and Chicago.
Is that what it is?
Hold on. I'll give it to you.
No, I think they played the Vikings twice already.
All right, here they are. At Dallas, at home against Pittsburgh, at Chicago.
All winnable. And
so
that tie.
9-6-1.
That tie's going to help them.
All right. Did we already do our copy facts face off?
Yeah. Yeah, he got abused.
I won.
And you piled in. You got a little upper right. You got a right cross to the head. It was two little guys taking on
the
big guy.
We've established that I like winning and you like losing. It's fine.
You know what that was like? That was like.
Not when it comes to the copy facts face off. And we'll break.
That was like somewhere like if you go into a place and a bunch of hooligans jump on a big guy and beat him up.
Like in London. We'll take a break and come back to the HananiaAutos.com studio on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, rolling right along here. News at the bottom of the hour. So, hey, how about Matt Prater's 64-yard field goal in Denver yesterday? Cold ball.
I was there for the 63-yarder. So were you, and so were you.
1998, when Jason Elam did it.
Were you? You were there.
I was there.
Yeah.
So here's the question. Do you put an asterisk next to it?
No.
Why? It was freezing cold.
Right.
Well, there were some people that threw that out there.
Any altitude was nullified by the cold.
You know, I tend to agree with you.
Some people, put an asterisk next to what Tom Dempsey did.
Because he used the half.
Right.
Yeah, the boot. Right.
Well, he had a half a foot.
Right, bud.
I mean, how was that? I mean, really, Pete?
No, I'm just saying. Some people did.
He had a half a foot, and you're going to put an asterisk next to him?
I didn't. I'm saying some people.
What kind of human being?
Look at Joe's, shaking his head.
What kind of human being are you?
No, I'm not making fun of you.
Are you that bad?
No!
I thought there was hope for you when I saw you with that kid.
Why do you have to take it down that?
It's unbelievable.
No.
Making fun of someone who lost half a
foot. I'm not making fun of. Don't try and say I did. I'm just saying some people.
You made fun of a guy with half a foot.
No, I did. Some people put an asterisk next to it. And
there was a conversation last night, folks talking, he did it in Denver. So I asked Goby about it today, about kicking the field goal.
What makes that kick really impressive is how cold it was. Because when the temperature gets that cold, the ball does not compress at all. So you have to hit it dead perfect. What happens is the sweet spot on it shrinks drastically, so you have to hit the ball perfect. And apparently he did. And even though the Denver has the altitude like it does, it's equivalent to golf, because when golfers play an altitude like that, they add about 15-20% per shot. So if they have a 100-yard shot, they're add 15-20 yards to it. Same with kicking. If he has a 60-yarder, add 6-9 yards on it. So that's just a normal thing. But it still is very impressive, the fact that it was that cold and, the field probably wasn't the best then. It was an amazing kick.
Yeah, I mean, Scobie says, hey, look, the altitude absolutely has a factor in it. But he said, I don't know what the winds are and the field and the cold and all of that thing.
Who cares? He made a 64-yarder. If it's so easy in Denver, why hasn't anyone done it before?
It's not.
It's hard. That ball, I think Scobie, and he
And it's kicking ball, too.
It's tough.
Not rubbed down in the whole 9 yards.
It's cold. It's nasty.
64. That looked like a long guard.
It was in the air.
Let's move on. We've talked enough about kickers.
Yeah, it was in the air.
Well, we're still talking about it.
Yesterday was a big day for special teams. I hate special teams, but it was a big day.
I'm fine about special teams. I said enough about the kickers.
Well, they're special teams.
Let's talk about officials, shall we?
Oh gosh, that's nauseating.
You going to agree that I'm right?
You know, I've not lost the copy facts face-off yet.
In his own mind.
I've won. I'm undefeated, but was it last week?
See, in your mind, you're in the Hall of Fame, too.
Defeated. Was it last week that we
had? You heard what I said?
Yeah, I heard you. I ignored you. Last week we talked about the officials versus the replacement officials?
Yeah.
And you argued that these guys are no different than the replacement officials?
No, that's not
officials.
What I argued.
That's what you argued.
No, I said and give them I a year said, and they wouldn't be.
No, you said they're no different. I said
please,
they are different. I'm starting to wonder if they are any different.
Well, I mean, Jeff Triplett's call in the game in Cincinnati is the one that stands out the most.
How does he not see him grab his foot?
And we just had him here a couple weeks ago, and we saw that.
Here's the thing.
But the pass interference, which was a terrible call at the end of the game in Cleveland, there was a hold on a two-point play on Ndamukong Suh on a pass.
Well, I didn't even see. He never got touched. I mean, he didn't do anything.
It was terrible.
I don't know where that came from.
It was.
And so you look at some of these things, and some of the judgment calls I can be like, okay.
Right.
But they're starting to like look at reviews and not get them right.
Right.
And not know what plays to review and not getting the right down marker and the right down and I mean, we're going like replacement style with these guys.
There was a play in the San Francisco game, and I haven't done the research on it yet, but they blocked a punt, San Francisco. Did you remember the play? They blocked a punt. It was going out of bounds, and it would have been out of bounds for San Francisco at like the 15-yard line.
Yeah.
And one of the Seattle players punched the ball.
Slapped it out.
Slapped it
back in.
Back into like the 30-something yard line, and San Francisco recovered there. It was an illegal batting, but San Francisco declined the penalty, so they got the football. So if you're why not coach your players every single time something like that happens? Just bat it as far as you can into the field to play, because they're going to get the ball there, and they have to decline the penalty. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I have a rule question for you. If a wide receiver going out for a pass is pushed out of bounds,
he can't come back. In the NFL, it's different.
See, I thought so too. But if he, I was watching the Philly Detroit game, and whoever the play-by-play guy and John Lynch, and I think John does a really good job. And they had the thing where the receiver went out. They thought he went out, and he came back in. Antonio Brown. No, it was Deshaun Jackson.
It was on the end line.
End of line.
He wasn't pushed, though.
But they said, well, if he's pushed out, as long as he comes back and establishes 2 feet.
Can't be the first one to touch the ball.
Then he goes, well, I'm like, that's college, right? That's college, right?
That's college.
Wrong.
And the pros, if you go out of bounds, whether you're pushed or not,
you can't be the first one.
By the way, that
you
was
come back, but you can't be the first one to touch it.
By the way, that was a big play in that game.
There's no way you could overturn it, though.
Again, it goes back to my theory on why the snow isn't and all that is not good for the game.
It was great.
I mean, it was fun to watch it. I'm not going to deny that. That was fantastic theater yesterday.
So I was right again.
No, you're not. But would you like a Super Bowl decided by the fact that you couldn't see the lines
part of the game.
And they couldn't make it right?
You might.
If it happens, it's part of the game.
Did you, by the way, see that the Fox technology that they were
really
using
that,
on the Philadelphia game, where they were superimposing where the numbers would be?
Yeah.
The numbers weren't there. Did you know that? There were no numbers.
It was technology. Oh, yeah. No, kind of like how they put the line.
I was going back and forth.
You know how the line. Well, you didn't notice that all the numbers were perfect shape.
But at halftime, I thought they maybe went out there.
No, there were no numbers there.
No.
People in the stands didn't see any numbers. It was a horror show.
It's awesome.
They were just superimposing the numbers, just like they do the yellow line or the blue line or any of those lines that they put on there.
It
was all technology.
It was fun to watch. Nobody's going to take that away from yesterday because it was fantastic.
That was outstanding. Don't you think? I mean, if they can do that, why don't they just put the line. The goal line, and then when they go review, they'll see where the goal line and end line is, just superimpose everything.
Well, those lines are not meant to be accurate, remember?
Well, let's make sure they're accurate then.
Well, they should laser them up.
Laser them up, that's what I'm
saying. That's what you have to do.
Laser up the yard marker.
Or you could just put a chip in the ball.
Yeah.
And the chip would tell you when the ball crosses the end line.
Well, I mean, in baseball, they can tell you whether it's a strike. They got those pitcher cams or K-cams, whatever they're called.
Well, but
and,
the umpires
don't see
that.
In tennis, they tell you. I mean,
140
mile an hour serve if it's in or out. I mean, I think we can decide where a football is.
Well, now the new push is to take replay out of the stadiums and make it centralized. And I think that's a really good idea because a lot of times we sit there and watch all the games and we see the replay better than the guy that goes into the hood sees it sometimes.
So you go to the college rule where it's basically.
No, they're going to centralize it. Like somebody.
I understand, but the official on the field, I agree. Why they go to the booth and all that? It's stupid.
Yeah, like hockey does. They would go to New York. Somebody in there would look at it. Boop, boop. Done. Move the game along.
But not only that, but why is this guy going to the hood? Just sit there and put a headset on. It's whoever's in New York can tell you whether it's good or bad.
Well, right. Do you really want to take the official, though, out of the equation?
Yes.
He was there.
I don't care.
I think you want a pair of eyes that are involved in having a conversation with the guys.
No, I agree. I think
Come on.
Some of these calls that are bang-bang.
Some of these guys don't even know what day it is.
Jeff Triplett is the perfect case for what you're talking about. But I still don't think you want to take it 100% away.
I'll be shocked if he's back.
I still think you want to have the official who was there.
Again, I've been told at least 15 to 20 of the guys who were replacement officials should be officiating in the National Football League right now. Right now.
You might be right after what I've been seeing.
I love hearing him say that.
You might be. I didn't say you were. Yeah. Does this come to a point where they just hire full-time officials? And what does that fix if they do?
What does it fix?
I don't think it fixes anything.
No.
Listen, I got to be careful how I say this. I'm not going to say it. Never mind.
Say it to me.
I'll be in trouble.
You say it to me and I'll say it.
I'll get in trouble, though.
Hey, I was. Yeah. I tweeted out.
Let me say it this way.
Throughout the year, I
look at some of these officials. They can barely, like, walk.
I agree. They're older.
Some are larger. I mean, they can barely move. And they're going to call one of the fastest games in the world?
Which is why.
Come on. Can't we go get some like guys who are just out of college in really good shape?
They aren't
good enough to play football.
I threw this out to the league one officials? Time. I think they need to add another official on the field. One more.
Where would you put them?
That you got to figure out.
I mean, there's not much space out there.
But you need to.
How about just get some guys who can really fly around?
Yeah, I don't know. By the way, I sent this out. I said, if you train, and I firmly believe that, if you train the guys to be authoritative, mechanisms of the game, you would not notice a difference.
All right, let's take a break.
Learned, right? You can learn that. It's not hard to learn. You can learn the game.
Well, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. HannityAutos.com studio steps aside for News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, rolling along here. We got about 23 minutes left in the program if you'd like to join us.
I don't know, but I know this. I think I've done an outstanding job tonight.
Well, we're all impressed. Joe, are you impressed? Let's grab Craig.
Let's clap for him.
Thank you very much. I think I put in great effort. I'm a little tired. I had to work last night when you guys were all laying in bed.
How many times did they go to you during the game?
You know what they come to me a lot, almost as a third analyst sometimes. So they come to me with the injury stuff, like every sideline guy. But then they'll come to me about things I see, about a big spot, decisions.
So here's the question everyone wants to know. Do you miss being on the national circuit?
No. Certain things I do miss. I love because you get to go meet. I miss seeing all the guys that I used to.
See, I do too.
Like, I miss being in the stadiums and, like, Cincinnati. I used to go. I do a couple Cincinnati games a year. I'd talk to Marvin. You learn a lot about the league. I miss going around and, you know, who played last night? Panthers and Saints. And someone on the Saints said, oh, hey, it's good to see you. Where you been? I said, well, I'm not doing it anymore. But what I don't miss is what I enjoy more about my job now is, and you know this, Brian, when I was doing national, I was always following the Jags.
He was texting me.
I was always, and so I'd be out because this is my team. I mean, this is my team.
Yep.
And so I like being a part of the franchise. And so being a part of the franchise trumps missing the other stuff. So it was fun to go out there again.
Right.
But I if I had to choose, which I had the choice back then, I had an offer from Jags and Westwood One, and I chose the Jags because this is what I want to do.
See, this is the first time I haven't been at games.
It's fun. I mean, listen, if you're a football junkie, and Pete, you know this about me because, when I was a player, I was like this. I mean, I'm a football junkie. I love it. And so the buzz of being out on the road and games and seeing different players and seeing things and it was fun being a big Sunday night game. I mean, it was raw. I mean, I like that. That's fun. But, again, as much fun as that is, I love what I'm doing this year.
See, and I miss that, too.
Yeah.
I miss going in, seeing scouts, personnel, people.
You learn a lot.
You do. But I also thoroughly enjoy sitting in the room and watching every game unfold in front of me every Sunday.
Yeah.
I miss that. And I like that. So, but at the playoffs, CBS will be live streaming the postseason games on the playoffs, but we're not going to do the halftime show. They're going to use the New York halftime show. So I'm back out again. So I'll probably be in New Orleans. Or were you doing postseason?
I'm doing some postseason games, yes.
So
I hope in the future I won't, because that means we're in the postseason. But since we're not in the postseason, I'll do Westwood One.
Did you interview any coaches last night on there?
No.
I was going to say, please don't ask them how they feel.
You know who I interviewed?
It's like one of the worst interviews ever when somebody goes, so how's it feel?
You know who I interviewed last night after the game was Jimmy Graham.
Good kid.
Good kid.
Great
big kid.
Kid.
Tall kid.
Yeah.
Boy,
good kid.
He's special.
Hey, how much college football did he play?
He played.
He played He played both basketball and football.
Yeah.
But he was primarily a basketball
player.
Yeah,
he better
right?
basketball
player. Who picked up football along the way.
You know what the best part about Jimmy Graham was when I interviewed him? I had the final question. I said, what's it like? I mean, because Drew went over 50,000 yards last night. And I said, you know, how fortunate do you feel to be able to play with a guy like Drew Brees?
Yeah.
And he says, you have no idea. The fact that Drew throws the ball to me when I'm not open, he trusts me. He says, basically he said in so many words, I'm paraphrasing, I owe all to Drew. I mean, the fact that I get to play. So it was a young guy in today's world where you see a lot of young guys think it's all about them and they're the man and they got. I mean, here's a young guy who basically said, listen, I get it. I'm talented. I'm good. But Drew, playing with Drew Brees allows me to be who I am.
He's a free agent after the year.
What kind of a contract does he get?
They're going to have to pay him wide receiver money.
They'll tag him.
But the tag's going to be wide receiver because he splits out more than –
he can fight that, but I don't know.
Oh, it's going to be a big fight.
Yeah. He can't let him go.
What's he worth?
He should be the highest paid tight end in the league. Not named Gronkowski. He's not better than Gronkowski. Oh, he doesn't –
different.
At least Gronkowski will block.
I know, but they're different.
Jimmy tries to block.
Yeah, he's not great, but you know what else Jimmy does? They line up Jimmy, and you have to put a corner, and they run a slant, and there's not one corner in the NFL.
They
run that jump ball in the corner. It's like it's just
my
give
preference.
It to him.
My preference would be in my offense would be Jimmy Graham.
I love Gronk though.
Yeah,
Gronk gets hurt all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Gronk ACL.
MCL. He's out for a while.
By the way, it opens up the debate again about the low hit, the head hit.
Well, you're not. I mean, there's no.
You
debate.
Guys agree on that? One.
Yeah, we do.
Hit me, and I had an argument with him. Someone in the league office last night.
Well, I've had many an argument with.
And I argued with him. And I said, you guys are – it's wrong. I said, you guys are making the game more dangerous. And I said
– by legislating against
the
head.
You can't hit up high, so they're going to go low. And I said, I said, beat me in the head with a baseball bat before you take my knees. That's my career. He goes, you might not be saying when I'm older. I said, maybe not. But I'm not worried about that right now. I got a career. I want to play football. And I go back to, unless I don't know about it, I don't see a huge percentage of guys walking around that played the game of football with early Alzheimer's and depression, all these other factors that they say are so prevalent. I know there's some, and maybe the percentage is a little bit higher. But if it's me and I'm rolling the dice, hit me in the head, not my knees.
You could walk in the locker room right now and ask every single receiver in the league, would you rather get hit in the head or tear up your knee? They're going to take the head shot.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Because you don't get where your money is.
Your career might be over.
Right. That's where your money is.
Gronk's the type of player you think, because he's not a speed player, he'll be able to come back and still be an effective player because he's so big and strong and powerful. But you don't know for sure.
And when he's going through that rehab, he'll sit there and say, boy, I sure wish I had gotten a concussion.
Well, guess what? If you get knocked out, and Ditka said the same thing today, and, you know, they're honoring Mike Ditka tonight on the retiring jersey, which I don't know what took him so long.
He's a little overrated, Ditka.
Was he? I mean, bought into the
– a little overrated. He didn't play that long. I mean, if they're retiring it for being a coach and a player,
What did he make the Hall of Fame for, coach and player or just player?
No, he made it for his player.
How long did he play?
He only played
– Seven.
Eight, seven, nine.
Seven, 8 years,
he went to Dallas, and if you look at his numbers, Tony, I mean, granted, it's a different era. And he was Gronk.
Right.
That's who he was. But numbers-wise, you know,
was he a dominant player when he played? Was he viewed as that?
Supposedly he was. He had a game on the Sunday after Kennedy
was
killed. Where he, and it wasn't televised because everything was about the president, where he supposedly had a game for the ages. And he had moments like that over the course of his career. But that was at a point where John Mackey was the dominant tight end.
And John Mackey was the better tight end.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, John Mackey was
right.
But Dick was good.
But my whole point is, I don't want to get into a Dick debate. I really don't care. He said the same thing. Listen, if you get a concussion, guess what? You play in a week. You play in a week.
Yeah.
And guess what? Is there a chance when you're old that you might have issues? Yeah, small chance. You blow your knee out, you're not playing for a year.
Yeah, Gronkowski's
hit me in the head. Punch me in the mouth. Yeah, but Tony, knock me out.
You do realize that's the politically incorrect thing to say.
I don't care.
I'm with you.
I think Roger Goodell is the best commissioner in all professional sports. I'm a big Roger fan. I would say this to him. I'd have this conversation with him. I disagree. You're making the game more dangerous. And I get it. You're behind the eight ball because the player sued you. And as one person told me in the league, he says, no one's suing us for blown out knees. And I said, you know what? That's the problem. You're right. And the players put you in this situation. So all the guys who have their knees blown out, go talk to those guys that sued the league. All that are fine. All that have no issues. And all that would go play again, even if concussions would shorten your life by 10 years.
Well, now
and so go deal with them because your knee is partially because well, them
now
suing
you. Now you have a lawsuit with the knee guys get together and sue because they changed the rules.
Maybe the knee guys should sue the concussion guys who are suing the league.
By the way, Mike
Ditka. All a bunch of junk.
Mike Ditka played 12 years.
Yeah, he played a lot.
Was it long? Yeah, but six good ones. He played with Chicago. Here's his receptions for a tight end. Now, this is back in the
day. How many years was Chicago?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay.
So 56, 58, 59, 75, which is a great year for that.
Oh, yeah.
Then it goes 36, 32, 26, 13, 17, 8, 30, and 17.
What, he hurt his knee after the 75?
I think he got hurt, but those are not Hall of Fame numbers in any way, shape, or form. Even for that era, they're not.
But he was a George Halas guy.
He was.
At when George controlled the league.
Right. Is that Hall of Fame?
And he's now, definitely Hall of Fame for his personality, what he means to the league.
Oh, he's great for the game.
13.6 per catch is pretty impressive, though.
Listen, I like Ditka. Yeah.
I like Ditka.
I just like it because he's. You know what I like it? Because he's not politically correct. He just tells you what he thinks.
We need a break.
How many seasons, real quick before you go, how many seasons do you think he had double-digit touchdown catches?
Four.
I don't think he had any.
One. Tells you how that position's changed, huh?
Yeah, it sure has.
Game.
All right, we'll take a break, come back, and have one more segment. Jaguars Monday from the HananiaAutos.com studio on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, about 8 minutes left in the program this evening. What do we have? Three more shows of this after we're done the Monday after.
Hey, by the way, we haven't seen the November ratings. I haven't seen those yet. I wanted to see if Tony dragged
you're the October ratings.
No, the November.
November when
October
I was,
when we you guys
here.
Were gone.
We're here for gone for 2 weeks.
But I'm talking about the November ratings because it's December something already. I wanted to see that.
They shot through the roof.
You dragged them down.
Highest ever.
That's what the word is.
Highest ever in the history of Jacksonville.
Do we know that?
I don't know.
See, he's worried about it.
I'm worried about it? Why would I be worried about it?
Just like you're worried about that Hall of Fame.
Will you please straighten him out on this?
Yeah.
Ask Mike on Thursday.
Oh, ask Mike.
By the way.
What time's the call?
One of these days you're going to get in.
It'll happen, whatever.
All right.
Whatever.
8 minutes
left. I really don't worry about that kind of stuff, Pete. I have enough. I worry about certain things. What rating? I mean, listen, I know they're important.
I know.
But I know.
I'm not worried about it either.
I know you are.
But the Hall of Fame, you should worry about.
I really don't. I mean, in the catching one up, we're talking about. Somehow we got in Ditka.
And then Dwight Stevenson.
Dwight Stevenson
didn't start his first three seasons in the league and only started four full seasons before he got hurt.
My whole point was, I don't think about that stuff.
I do.
At all.
I do. Because that's what I do.
I understand that.
Jeff,
no, I think about, you know, when I think about it, when they announce it. And guys I know or contemporaries, you know, and I told you guys, out of a 365 day, I think about it for about a total of an hour.
Jeff Legwold.
Aggregated all together.
Of the Denver Post is the big reason why Floyd Little got into the Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yes.
Legwold.
He pushed him and pushed him and pushed him.
He was in Tennessee. He wasn't Denver.
But he had
Miami.
Gone to Denver, and Jeff's a big football junkie like I am. He's
Floyd Little.
Historian.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Talking about Stevenson still.
There are stories after stories of guys getting in because somebody on the committee made it their
mission,
and they lobbied for him, and they worked, and finally got in. And that's part of it. Listen.
That's unfair, too.
Listen.
That's unfair to me. I don't like – look, I'm not on this committee.
It's a Hall of Fame that is made up of great football players who played this game.
Right.
And guess what? There's some great players that aren't in it. But it's judged and picked by a bunch of – guys who are fans and writers and journalists, and they know game, but they all have opinions and biases and
See, I hate the
human
block.
And human nature comes into it, right. And that's just part of it. And anytime you have any organization or anything you're judging or voting on, figure skating, the Olympics, I mean, there's biases in what your history has, which makes you up, will influence who you vote for and don't. And it's okay. It's just
It's just like if I mention your name to guys in that committee, I know them all. Ah, he's hurt. He was hurt. I go, really? You play more games than Stevenson. Did you know that? They don't know that. So
no, you get put like, but in, again, like in anything, you get a perception is formed, right. And you get stereotyped or you get pigeonholed, and this is who you are, whether it's true or not. And listen, here's the thing though, we all do that,
right?
We all do it. Now, but it might not be about football. I mean, we do about people. We make judgments, right, based on what our perception is, and we could be 100% wrong. And that's why, in all seriousness, I don't have anything.
I know you don't worry about it, but the point is, you should be in there.
Well, I appreciate that.
You should be in there.
It's one of the few things.
Should be somebody pushing for it, and the guys should do their homework who are on that committee to find out how good a player you were, and then they would put you in. So I don't think it's getting done the right way.
Well,
and to me, that's part of the problem. They should just open up the vote. It shouldn't be in a room where guys argue back and forth. It shouldn't be somebody can probably. Dr. Zimmerman, Paul Zimmerman, who's now sick, was a.
He had a stroke.
Truth be known, yeah, he was a bully in the room. Bully in the room. He was a bully everywhere. He bullied everybody. He tried to bully everybody. That's who he was. He came out one time and said, Tony Boselli, not a good run blocker. Do you remember that?
I don't, but I'm sure
he did.
It happened.
So, of course, Dr. Z said it. He wrote The Thinking Man's Guide to Football. So it has to be true. So then it trickles down. And Peter and everybody else start following it. And
well,
now
we were number 2 in the league in rushing.
If they watched you realize what you did. Wasn't Bruce Smith the defensive player of the year you destroyed him?
Yes.
I mean, he was the defensive player of the year, and you abused him like he was 14 years old. The bottom line is, you should be in the Hall of Fame. Somebody needs to fight the fight. Now, I don't have a vote.
But it's a whole other story.
You know the funny thing is, though, Pete? You might never get a vote because the way you treat those guys. Which I love about you.
Yeah.
You don't care.
I saw those guys came
I mean, Pete abuses them constantly.
They came out of the room. They came out of the room last year, and I was walking. It was in New Orleans. I happened to be walking back from doing TV over there, and I see these guys, and somebody goes, "Oh, your name came up in the meeting. Not so good either." I go, "Great. That means that they don't like my opinion.
It means
on
you're
it.
Doing your job."
Right. I'll fight. I would fight. They know it. That's probably why I'm not in there.
Pete, you pretty much, I think, whether people like you or not. No, I happen to like you. I always have. I like giving you a hard time telling you that you're a loser, which I do think you are.
But he didn't say that to you last Tuesday when you took your time to come to the Boselli Foundation, did he?
I love him. You know that. Uh-huh. And I know you have a heart now.
Right, it's true.
Soul is, we're debating.
Right.
But you have a heart.
I just see that scene from The Grinch.
But the one thing everyone knows about you, again, like you or not, is you're going to fight.
Yeah.
And even when you're dead wrong.
No.
Which you are.
I haven't been wrong on this show yet.
Oh, my God. Pittsburgh Steelers.
I love the way he comes back in and he's like, I think you might have been right about the officials.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember it. It was 2 hours ago.
See, maybe you do need knee shots better than the head shots.
No, I'm fine with it. If I don't remember, I don't remember.
I don't remember things either. I don't remember taking headshots in the NFL.
I remember everything you said.
Do you remember where your keys are all the time? See, yeah. That's one of the things now.
That's
guys go.
You remember everything?
Yeah, I mean,
you can't add, but you remember everything.
Well, I need your help with the adding.
I'll take the adding and
right.
Forget things.
You remember everything. Like, you can remember what you had for dinner last Thursday.
Yeah, and I can remember where I ate in 1996 when the Jaguars played the Broncos
in
the playoff game. Yeah, I mean,
how do you remember that?
I don't.
Well, because I have a mind for all that trivial little
minutia,
stuff.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you know, I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, $132,000.
I remember
it. You know why I was on it? Because my wife handed me the phone. She goes, "You got a head full of crap."
Why did you only get to $32,000?
What was the question
that choked you?
It was a fashion question, so I know you guys couldn't have helped me.
Ask the question.
I'll ask you right now.
Hold on, wait a second. Why didn't you phone a friend?
I did.
He did. They blew it, too.
I did, yeah. It was Heather White, if you remember Heather, who used to be on Cool FM.
But as soon as she... Did you have 50-50,
wait, let him ask the question. See if you get it.
Well, yeah, it was these... Okay, wait. All right, so I got about a minute. The following four fashion designers, one uses their birth name as their clothing label, so three of them change it. Karl Kanai, Ralph Lauren, Giorgio Armani, and Donna Karan.
Well, Ralph Lauren's name is Ralph Lipschitz.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So he's
I did the 50-50, and so I got it down to Donna Karan and Giorgio Armani.
So it's Giorgio Armani uses his real name.
Yes, you're right.
I'm moving on!
I got it wrong.
Italians don't change their name.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know that at the time, though. Donna Karen's name is Donna Karenzinski.
Yeah.
And do you know the first... I got it wrong. I got 32 grand. Do you know the first person to tell me that they knew it? The first person who looked me in the eye, I go, you should have called me. By the way, we taped it during draft week, 2000, Coughlin. I said, you did not. You know what he said? Saw it on A&E. So there you go. So we end with a little trivia.
Beautiful, beautiful.
All right, have a great night, everybody.
All right, see you guys.